I like to just do a quick background on myself. And the reason I do that, because I would want somebody that I didn't know, and some of you guys know me, obviously, but some of you don't. Yeah, so I was raised in the Russellites, Jehovah's Witnesses, all my life. Didn't really get too involved with it, though. I actually never did knock on a door, because we didn't do that in our little sect. But, I joined the military. I always wanted to be a cop. So I joined the military as a canine security police in the Air Force. Got out. Excuse me. I got out and became a cop for like 10 years. I had a lot of fun doing that, but it cost me a lot with my family. My wife didn't divorce me, but she probably should have. I had a real anger problem. I had total lack of self-control. Total lack of self-control. And I was a cop. And, if you got in my way, I'm really just a family guy with the kids, I was like the nicest guy in the world. But if you were on a bad side, you're a dope dealer, or you're just beating up your wife or whatever, then I had no mercy on you. You want to fight, let's go for it. That's my mentality. I say that because I had zero self-control, especially when it came to violence. And I have an anger problem, by the way. I do. And I still have one. But the Holy Spirit suppresses it. When I'm in the Spirit, I'm fine. I'm good. I'm a loving guy. I'm a compassionate pastor. I love my wife and my kids and my grandkids. I love you guys. But when I'm not in the Spirit, I'm an idiot. But so are you. So when you're not in the Spirit, you guys are idiots. But we are in the Spirit this morning, because we're going to talk about not being idiots, but not really believing what God says. I had like three things. Actually, I was praying last night and this morning, like three different ways we could go this morning. And I just, sitting there, I decided we're going to go with the story of the Samaritan. And so that's what we're going to do this morning. Talk about the Samaritan. Everybody knows what the Samaritan is? Excuse me. When I start talking in the mornings, I get phlegm. Forgive me. We have women here too, don't we? So I'll keep it nice. Who knows about the Samaritan? Raise your hand if you know about the Samaritan. If you don't, you don't. That's okay. The Samaritan. The story of the Samaritan. Well, the Samaritan in Samaria in the biblical times, in Jesus' time, they weren't liked very well. They were kind of half Jewish. They were like the white trash. They were like the punks. They were like people that the Jewish people didn't like. They were outcasts. They weren't good enough, especially for the Jews. They thought of them as a lower class. And so they lived in Samaria, and most of the Jews wouldn't even travel through Samaria. They didn't like them. It was like traveling through like the worst part of town. It was like the dirty people. In their minds, they were, because they were self-righteous. But Jesus is asking Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. He was asked by a lawyer, because they're having these open town meetings. And he had this crowd of people around. Jesus had this crowd of people around him, and they knew that Jesus, there was something special about him. Some people knew he was the Messiah. Some people just knew that, man, he's a great teacher and he did miracles. And some people go, who is this guy? Who is this new guy in town? And I don't know if you've been around lawyers. I worked for a Jewish attorney for about 5 years in a very closed office. He was a converted Jew. He was a Christian. But he was an interesting guy. And Alan, aren't you somewhat Jewish?
Yes.
Yeah? Converted Jew?
Yes.
And this attorney taught me a lot about the Jewish race. In fact, he didn't like Jewish people. Really. This Jewish attorney did not like Jewish people. because he had grown up in Beverly Hills with him. He was a real rich guy, and he lost it all, and he got born again. And him and I worked in the ministry down at Murrieta Hot Springs, the conference center, for 5 years together, and I was there 8 years. I learned a lot about the Jewish culture and how they think about the goyims. You know what a goyim is? What's a goyim, Alan?
Someone who is not Jewish.
That's correct. A Gentile, goyim. Okay. And most Jewish people look down on the Gentiles. Believe me, they do. And it's not a joke. I mean, they really do look down. They're not. You're not good enough. You're not really up to their par because they're Jewish and you're not. And we had a lot of fun with that. It wasn't like a very serious thing, but he just was a very interesting Jewish lawyer. But in Luke chapter 10, verse 25, there was a lawyer that was listening to Jesus. Now, it doesn't go into a lot of specific detail, so I might add a little story to this. And I'm going to say that right now, okay? It doesn't exactly say some of the things I'm going to say. But, and it's not that I'm adding to it. I'm just giving you a little bit of a story to it, okay? I'm not trying to spin it, but there's a certain teaching here that we're going to go over the next 15 minutes or so. So would I add a little flavor to it? That's okay. As long as I tell you, I'm just adding a little flavor to it, all right? So let's pray. Father, we do. We ask in Jesus' name, Lord, as we read Luke chapter 10, verse 25, through the end, Lord, that you would give us insight with this, Lord. And Lord, this is not even about, Lord Jesus, this is not about 2,000 years ago here. This is about us today. Lord, as we receive this, we hear it, we think about it, and we apply it to our lives, Father. So in Jesus' name, by the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, just fall upon us now. Clear our minds. Get rid of any thoughts of how much money we lost last night or the fight with a wife or what's happening at U-turn or whatever's going on. It doesn't matter right now, Lord. For my mind and my brother's and my sister's mind, Lord, clear our minds. Lord, show us what you want us to learn today about the Samaritan, Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. So here's Jesus, he's talking. I'm not going to read the whole chapter here. I'm just going to start with 25 for time's sake. But there's a gathering. Again, there's people real close to him that actually absolutely believe with all their hearts that he is the Messiah. There's people that are real curious, like, something's going on here. And then there's maybe this lawyer who's kind of kicking back going, what is this guy doing here? Because Jesus got through saying that, you know, kings and smart people, highly intelligent people, want to understand all these things, but it's only revealed by who God wants to be revealed and who Jesus wants to reveal it to. And this lawyer would say this and said this in verse 25, chapter 10 of Luke. And behold, this is out of the New American Standard. That's the Bible Jesus used. And behold, a certain lawyer, in the Mosaic Law, by the way, a certain lawyer stood up and put him to the test, saying, Teacher, Jesus, you, teacher, Jesus, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And then Jesus said to him, well, what is written in the law? You're an attorney. You're the smart guy. What's written in the law? How does it read to you? And the lawyer answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, Jesus said, well, you've answered correctly. Do this and you'll live. Oh, okay. But wishing to justify himself, hey, nobody puts me down. You just put me in my place, Rabbi, teacher, Jesus, whoever you are. No, I'm a lawyer. You don't do that to me. He said to him, you know, wishing to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "Oh, and who is my neighbor, by the way? Who is that?" Threw it right back at him. Again, I'm using voice inflections here. I'm just speculating here, but I think it's probably pretty close. Are you getting the picture here? There's a little bit of a confrontation here, isn't there? The Son of God, the Messiah, confronted by a Jewish attorney of the Mosaic Law. He knows what the Scriptures say. And Jesus replied to him and said, in verse 30, a certain man... Okay, Mr. Attorney, let me tell you something. I'm not going to give you an answer. I'm going to give you a story. And I believe with all my heart, this is the Son of God here. He's not making this up. But it's a parable. Well, I understand that. Anyway, it's an illustration. But the Son of God, the Son of God, doesn't have to make up something. Okay? I think this really happened. I think Jesus, knowing all, had knowledge of everybody, and he wasn't making this story up. This really happened. I believe that. This is a real story. Jesus replied and said, "Who's your neighbor? I'll tell you who your neighbor is. A certain man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, and they stripped him and beat him and went off, leaving him half dead." So there was an armed robbery. They beat the crap out of him, what they did, and they left him for dead. They took everything from him. What he had, I don't know. It didn't say. But they took everything. And by chance, verse 31, by chance a certain priest was going down on that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Now I'm going to stop because I like this communication here, okay? Andrew, who do you think this priest? Why do you think this priest crossed the other side?
Because he didn't want to get anywhere near the guy.
That's right. So this priest, this Jewish priest, was walking, and he left that side and went to the other side to avoid any contact with that. Now, why did that priest do that? You think? What was the motivation?
He didn't want to defile himself.
Okay. Now, again, it doesn't say, does it? It doesn't say, but we're going to just speculate for a moment. Okay? Now, here's the good part. I want you to put yourself in that priest's robes right now, because you guys have done exactly the same thing. You've crossed over to the other side to avoid stuff, too. I know I have. So let's not get all cocky about this priest. Well, that priest, okay. Well, that priest is you, because that's what he's trying to tell us. I think maybe, and I got a story about this, I think maybe this priest was in his clean robes and this guy's all bloody. What is he going to do with them? I'm going to get blood on me. It's like you're taking your wife out, or you're going out to a nice place, or you're going to church and there's a bunch of junk in front of you. What are you going to do? You're in your suit and your tie or whatever. You're clean and you don't want to get defiled, right? It's exactly what's happening here. Although this is a human being, and he rejects that for whatever reasons. I mean, there's many of them. And he leaves to the other side. Okay. Well, that's one. Definitely a person in need, and he walked right by him. So he passed to the other side. In 32, and likewise a Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him pass by on the other side. So here's the second guy. So why does Levite? Why did Jesus use the Levite? He used the priest and the Levite. Why is that?
Both
in leadership? What?
I thought they're both priests.
Well, a Levite's not necessarily a priest. So they're both in leadership. They're both set apart, you know, in the Jewish culture. Right, Ellen? Yeah? So, yeah.
They also both know the law. Lawyer had just read.
Andrew's been in some of my Bible college classes, but that's exactly right. Leadership, yep. And they both know the law. They know what the law means. And Jesus, because Jesus is the best. He didn't get in some like verbal confrontation where he says, okay, you think you're smart? Let me tell you a story I know because I'm God. Let me tell you about this. I'm not going to argue with you. Let me tell you a story. This is a real life story, okay? This isn't a pretend story. This is a real life story. So the priest was going by, and he moved on the other side of the road. And so likewise the Levite did. Both Jewish people, both Jews, both know the law. Both know exactly what the law says because these are in leadership. You're exactly right. So they didn't help this guy. But they knew what the law said. But a certain Samaritan, these dirty Samaritans, these kind of like these trashy people that they have no respect for and they look down upon, a certain Samaritan who was on a journey came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion. So the priest saw him and walked on the other side to avoid him. Knows the law, a leader. The Levite saw him, knows what God's word says. He passes him by because then we get defiled or doesn't want to deal with it. But this trashy people, the people that they don't care for, they look down upon, Jesus says, I know the story because I was there. Jesus saw it. And he said, this person that you look down upon, he saw it. And he had compassion on him. And he came to him and bandaged up his wounds. He was getting bloody. He was getting nasty there. He bloodied. He put his hands on this person who was dirty and bloody. Bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil, pretty expensive, and wine on them, and he put him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. That's what that dirty Samaritan did. And he said to the innkeeper, take care of him. Do whatever it takes. And whatever more you spend, I will return, I will repay you. So, you can hear the crowd. Here's Jesus, my man speaking with authority, Jesus Christ. And the ones who really, really super believed him, like us, we believe that Jesus, we're like, amen to that. What a great story, Lord. And the ones right behind them that weren't quite convinced goes, this is supernatural. Is there something going on here? I'm more of a believer than I was 5 minutes ago before the story. And then here's the attorney and maybe the Sadducees, the Pharisees around him saying, wow. And you know, they're thinking about a response, right? They're thinking about how to respond to the story. And he said, which of these do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands? Which one? And the lawyer said, the one who showed mercy toward him. And Jesus said to him, go and do the same. So now you know, not only do you know the law, I gave you an example, now go apply it to your life. That's exactly the teaching here. But let's forget about the lawyer for a minute. What about us? How do we do this now? Because that's the most important thing, right? There's a teaching here, and we can read right over it. But the main thing is, what are you going to do to apply it to your life? How do you see this picture? How do you see this story? How do you see this teaching? Because if you leave here today, if I left here today, and the reason I picked this one out, because this is something I need to remind myself of, and I'll give you a personal application in a couple minutes. If we leave here today and we see somebody on the side of the road and you pass them by, shame on you. Shame on you. You're just the lawyer that never got it. Okay? So you need to apply this in your own life. We've got to practice these teachings. Okay? Now, do you have to use discernment on that? Of course. But you'll know. God will show you. It's not like you're going to stop in the middle of a freeway to help some dog or some accident, okay? You could cause more of a problem. I get that, okay? But you guys are men, women. You have spiritual discernment, and you need to use it. But ultimately, if God gives you opportunity, you should take it. Because you can talk about Christianity. You can talk about Bible college. You can talk about your testimony all day long. But if you can't practice it, shame on you. Shame on me. So this is the reminder we have this morning about the Samaritan. Don't condemn the priest and the Levite. They were just foolishness. But what you can do is be convicted by our own lack and own lack of willingness to help others. Okay. Let's stop right there. Let me give you a personal application. When I was a kid, you know, I wanted to be a cop so bad. I mean, I lived and breathed. I played, you know, Cowboys and Indians, and I played cops and robbers, and I was always the cop. We always won. And so, when I was in high school, they had what's called the Explorers or Police Cadets, and I joined, and I loved it. I mean, I loved every minute of it. I loved the uniform. I loved, and finally they allowed us to buy these like these police jackets. I'm just saying, I was a nerd. Okay, I can't help it. We got patches, and man, I felt so. I mean, I worked hard. I worked at a restaurant and at a grocery store to save enough money up. I bought this jacket. Even back that long ago, 40 years ago or longer, 45 years ago, it was $50. That was a lot of money, man. I don't know what they are now, but probably 150. But it was $50. I got the patches sewed on. I had my little cassette. My cadet badge and all that, and I was riding with another officer, and I mean, I didn't have a gun or anything. I was just riding along. And I remember they got a call. There's a man down. I grew up in Antioch, California. A man down by the river. He's a man down, like a medical call. So the officer, we responded over there, and it was exciting because we were like code 3, and he stops and he gets out, and there's this, he's drunk. This guy's drunk, but he's laid out. And he's just passed out, and he's kind of foaming a little bit. And it was cold because it was by the river. I think it was during the winter time. And I remember the officer didn't have his coat on, but I walked around, had my flashlight on him, and this cop told me, and I was just a kid. I was like 16, 17. He said, "Hey, take your jacket off and put it over this guy." And I went, "What? Yeah, take your coat off and put it on. This guy's really cold. He's freezing." OMG. And I laid it on. I mean, the jacket was still crisp because it was new. And I laid it on this guy. And I thought, and I never forgot it, obviously. But there was something inside me that was angry that I had to put my new coat on this guy laying there in the gutter. Why do I have to do that? Little did I know that I would be sharing. I've shared this story before, different things. Little did I know that, you know, 30 years later, 35 years later, I'd be sharing that with you. Because the priests and the Levites are just like that. I'm not. Why? Why would I do that for this guy? I mean, he's a drunk. But that was my mentality. But it taught me a lesson. It was humiliating for me to take my jacket off and lay that on there. Let me tell you what humiliation does. Humiliation absolutely teaches you humility. There's no way around it. When you get humiliated, if you don't learn humility, at least a starting of humility through it, then shame on you. Because that's what happens to me. And I resist it, I get it. But humiliation is the only way to true humility with God. Don't ever forget that. So anyway, I mean, eventually the ambulance got there, and I got my jacket back, and I wouldn't even wear it. I mean, the guy was... So I had it dry cleaned, and, you know, that's a story. But I never forgot that, because it really, really ticked me off. But now I can see that it was good for me.
The jacket was broken in?
No. Well, I probably sold it to somebody after I... No, not after that. When I joined the military, I just joined the military, and I probably gave it to someone. I don't know. Who knows what happened to it? Maybe he's wearing it now. Sorry. That'd be... One other application I want to give you here, and we'll close. There is... In fact, on 38 through 42, you can read it to yourself, but I won't read it. But I think this goes along with this. In other words, the priest walks by, the Levite walks by, they're too busy, they don't want to be defiled, they're in a hurry. It could be anything. I don't know. I mean, it doesn't say. All it does say is the priest and the Levite walked by. They knew what the law was, they knew what a neighbor was, but they just walked by. They didn't care about this guy. They were too busy, too preoccupied. And then, of course, it goes into Mary and Martha right here too, but let me just give you a little Mary and Martha thing, a priest Levite thing, a Mary and Martha thing, then we'll close. Now, I left law enforcement, took an early retirement. I moved down to Southern California, which I swore I'd never do. I mean, the peripheral canal, you guys stole our water. So when God sent me down here, I go, what in the world is going on here? And I was unemployed. I took off from Northern California. I moved down to Brea. I live with my sister-in-law. My whole family lived in this big, giant house. And that was right after I got saved, by the way. And I was really on fire for the Lord. I really was. You remember when you first got saved? Okay. You might have lost some of that fire. I hope not, but it happens. But this is a good reminder. Don't lose that fire. Always remember, when you get down, remember when you first got saved. That was the best time, wasn't it? That was a good time for me. I mean, a lot more mature, I think, in the Lord. But when you first got saved, it's a whole different thing. Money doesn't matter to you that much. It really doesn't. You're more giving. You're more excited. You love men's breakfasts. I mean, it's just excited. You're just excited to be a part of the family of God. You're excited that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's the truth. Remember that? It's still a current thing. You can still do that. Well, I needed a job. And I was living off my savings. I moved from Sacramento down. I retired from law enforcement. I got saved, and I moved down to Southern California. Well, I started to be kind of critical, and I was getting a little worried about where the money was going to come from. So I started looking around for jobs. You know, and I also, you know, I'm a truck driver too. I can drive trucks. I like driving trucks. And so I was looking for a truck driving job. I had our money was depleting quickly, and so I live in Brea. There was a truck driving job opening in Corona, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to go over there and check out this job. It's a pretty good job. And so I drove down Imperial towards Corona. And, you know, for me, I wasn't like in a suit, because you don't go to a truck driving job in a suit. So, but, I, you know, I was dressed, you know, dressy casual. And my car was kind of dirty. I didn't have time to wash my car. But I wanted to make a good impression. It was a good job, actually. It was a really good job. I talked to the guy on the phone. Yeah, come on down here. I'll talk to you. And it was like a higher paying truck driving job. So I was going on Imperial. I'm driving along, and like I'm focused. Okay, here's what I'm going to say. I got my resume here. I got my DMV printout. I got my medical card ready. Everything's. I'm just thinking about this job. My whole life is focused on this job in Corona. I want this job. I'm going to get this job. And I'm driving along, and the Lord. And when I say the Lord spoke to me, I mean He spoke to me right here. He said, I'm driving along Imperial, and He said, pull in this car wash and get your car washed. I don't have any money for this. I barely got money to go get gas. The Lord says, pull into the car wash. And I'm resisting Him. I say, no, pull in the car wash. And it's like the Lord physically made me pull in this car wash, made a left turn in the car wash. And I got in line. I go, All right, Lord. Okay, whatever. I got like $15. The car wash is $12. What am I going to do? What? Just do it. So I got in the car wash. I took my car. I got out. Kind of battling with the Lord a little bit. Like, this is not good stewardship. Oh, really? This is not good stewardship. I walk along. And you got the people all waiting for their cars, right? And there's a shoeshine guy. And I'm telling you the truth. Listen to me. The Lord said, go get your shoe shined. What? It's like $3 or $4. I got $5 left. That's all I have left. A shoe shine? Go get a shoe shine. It's bad stewardship. And I walked over, and it was this, I'm telling you, there was this little black guy. And I'm walking over, and he's sitting there. I said, hey, how you doing? I need a shoe shine. And I got up there, and I was like, what the heck is going on here? I sat down. This is not what I want to do. And by the way, I'm thinking, I'm not giving this guy a tip either. I'm not trying to do it. So I sit down. He says, how you doing, sir? I'm going, I'm doing okay. And so he starts shining his shoes up. Okay, well, Lord, maybe I need a shoe shine to get this job. Whatever. And I grab the newspaper, I'm reading it, and this guy starts a conversation. Goes, so you read that newspaper, huh? You see all that stuff going on in America. What's, you know, just a conversation like a barber would do. You know, he's feeling. He goes, yeah, this is what's going on, and this, I don't know, I can't remember the exact conversation, but we started this conversation off, and somehow, listen to me, somehow it got into marriage. And I said, yeah, you know, I'm a Christian, and God saved my marriage, and here's how he did it. And I just shared with him. I go, okay, Lord, maybe this is what it is. Okay, big deal. All right, I'm going to share my marriage and what an idiot I was as a husband. And I was sharing with him this story about my marriage, how God saved it, and, you know, and I kind of referring to what was happening in the world today, you know, the corruption and just how the enemy... And he says, you know, I'm a Christian too. I said, oh, good. That's great. And he got done shining his shoes. And I gave him my last $5. I'm telling you, it was my last $5. That's all I had. That's it. Listen to me now. Listen. I got up and he stood up and said, God sent you here today. I thought to myself, yeah, he did. He made me come here and get a car wash that I didn't want. And he got me a shoe shine that I didn't want. And if you're looking for, you know, I was thinking in my mind, if you're looking for more of a tip, I ain't got anything. I'll give you my comb, but that's all I have. And he said, I said, well, you know, that's great. He goes, no, you don't understand. Listen to me. This is the truth. He said, you don't understand. Today, I decided to leave my wife today. When I got home, I was going to tell her that I was done with her. I'm done with her and the kids. It's time for me to leave. I don't want to be a husband anymore. I don't want to be a father. I'm a backslidden Christian. And I'm done with the whole thing. God sent you here today. And I've repented. And I'm going to go home and love my wife. It's exactly what he said. I thought, holy Toledo. Really? He says, yeah. And he gave me a hug. This little guy. No, no, me. Just give me a hug. He says, God bless you, man. Thank you so much. I was in a daze. And I before I could say anything, they honked for my car. Remember how they, you know, how they honked for your car? Honk, honk, hey. I said, okay. See you later, man. I walked out to my car. I floated out to my car. I was it was some strange supernatural euphoria that I was in. Just, oh my gosh, Lord. I got to my car, I got in my car, I drove, I still in this euphoria, I started to drive out. I was gonna make a left to go to Corona, and as I stopped, listen, I saw myself. God showed me driving by. Will Lynn in his Taurus, gray Taurus, just drove by. My eyes were fixed upon the road, and I just drove by. He says, Will, that could have been you. Listen to me when I tell you to go do something. Listen to me. When I give you an unction, when I give you an anointing to go do something, don't resist me. Because that could have been you. And this guy would have left his wife. And you never would have had the supernatural event. Well, don't ever forget this. And I wept. I wept like a baby. I'm telling you right now. I never went to Corona. I went home. I went home. That's the true story. And I don't know what happened to this guy. I have no idea. But I know that when God, when you're walking, when you're driving by someplace, or you're walking, or you're doing whatever, and God says, go over here to help that bloodied robber, or go to this car wash, or go here or go there, I implore you as a brother in Christ, as a pastor, as a Christian brother, I'm telling you, listen to what God tells you to do. I don't know if God spoke to the Levite or the priest and said, go over there. It doesn't say. I know they did it. They did not do it. They went to the opposite way. I know that I resisted God when he said, pull over there. There's a hurting son of mine over here. And he's about ready to leave his wife and his kids. How do I know that? I only know it because I was halfway, semi, almost obedient to God. And that's the truth. You know, Mary or Martha's complaining down here in 38 to 42 about how she's doing all the work and Mary's sitting at your feet. What about me? Hey, Lord, I'm in a hurry. This priest says, Levi says, I'm in a hurry to get over here. I haven't got time for this. I'm on the Lord's business. And I was on my business. I got to go to Corona. I haven't got time for a car wash. I haven't got time for this. I don't want to shoe shine. I don't want it. It's bad stewardship. Really? Really, Will? Was it bad stewardship? No, it wasn't bad stewardship. It was a bad attitude, and it was disobedience that I was thinking, because I'm smarter than God. These people were smarter than God, weren't they? The lawyer thinks he's smarter than God, but he's not. Nobody's smarter than God. You want to be used by God? You don't want to be a Levite or a priest? Then don't do what they did. And don't do what I almost did, and that's go to Corona and try to get a job that I never got. But God used me in a super... I'm telling you right now, it's infallible truth that God is real. This is a supernatural event. I tell you, it's true. Every word of it. It's the truth. Amen?
Yes.
You get it?
Yes.
Okay. So let's practice it. Because you can talk about it all day long. My Jewish attorney friend would say this. And I know he didn't make it up, but he had a certain way to put it. You know, Will, in all my dealings with people, both Jewish and Gentile, through the legal system, when all is said and done, more is said than done. So let's go practice what God's taught us this morning, okay? Lord, we just ask in Jesus' name that put this, Lord, thank you for reminding me, Lord, this is exactly what I needed today, Lord. And for my brothers and my sisters here, Lord, may you put this in our hearts. May we, Lord, truly practice what we've been taught today by the power of the Spirit, Father. Let us not be disobedient to what you told us to do, Lord. Who is our neighbor, Father? It's the one, Lord, that we show compassion on. In the name of Jesus, amen.